Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello and welcome to the ID the Future podcast. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting from Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. I have on the show with us today William J. Becker Jr., an attorney with the Becker Law Firm in Los Angeles, California. William Becker is a First Amendment attorney who has worked on a variety of First Amendment lawsuits defending free speech, including defending free speech for the American Freedom Alliance in its current lawsuit against the California Science Center. Mr. Becker, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Hi, Casey.
Well, the reason that we have you on the show is because you recently filed this week a lawsuit against Jet Propulsion Laboratory on behalf of a computer specialist and high-level system administrator who works on the Cassini mission to Saturn with Caltech's Jet Propulsion Laboratory. And I was hoping that you could explain to us what this lawsuit is all about.
Sure. David Coppedge, as you said, is a system administrator working on the Cassini project, which is the mission to Saturn project at JPL. That's the one that sent a probe up to explore the rings around Saturn. And a year ago, Coppedge was called into his supervisor's office and was stressed down for handing out two DVDs exploring intelligent design, two of the ones that are widely regarded as very good explanations for ID, The Privileged Planet, based on Guillermo Gonzalez's book, and Unlocking the Mystery of Life. And David would hand those DVDs out and discuss intelligent design with some of his coworkers. But his supervisor apparently didn't appreciate it and somehow learned about it and told him to stop pushing his religion at work and to stop discussing intelligent design. In fact, he told him over and over again that intelligent design is religion. Intelligent design is religion. Shortly after, a few weeks later, David was called in to meet with two higher-level supervisors who told him that they no longer wanted him discussing intelligent design and he would be taken off of his position as team leader, or team lead, it's called, for IT on the Cassini project. That was a demotion. And it was a demotion based on his expression of interest in intelligent design, what we call viewpoint discrimination or content discrimination based on the content of his speech. And that's an unconstitutional violation of the First Amendment, typically if it's a state actor that is squelching the speech. But in this case, JPL is not a state actor, so what it amounts to is employment discrimination under California's Fair Employment and Housing Act based on the claim that David was pushing his religion, and therefore it's based on a discriminatory motive grounded in religious discrimination. In this case, we look into the mind of the employer and what the employer was motivated by. Intelligent design is not religious speech, and David Coppedge doesn't believe it's religious speech. But the employer in this case was apparently motivated by the perception that intelligent design is religion. And therefore, the employer acted in a manner that discriminated against David's speech, believing it to be religiously motivated. It's kind of an unusual case. It would be similar to somebody discriminating against, say, a non-Muslim who is wearing a particular, say, a Muslim dress and is discriminated against on the basis of a perception that that individual is a Muslim. So the real problem for the employer in this case is not whether or not intelligent design is religious speech, but the fact that they perceived it to be religious speech. The main theory in this case is based on Government Code Section 12940 at SEC, which is the Fair Employment and Housing Act, which deals with discrimination in the employment area and also in the housing area, such as discrimination against renters. So the main action here is a religious discrimination claim against the employer, but it also includes harassment, retaliation, wrongful demotion in violation of that government code section, and wrongful demotion in violation of public policy. The main thing that we're trying to get in this case, however, is a declaration from the court that David was discriminated against on the basis of religion because of his viewpoint regarding intelligent design. And we're also asking for injunctive relief, which is an order from the court that prevents the employer from denying David, or anybody else for that matter, their right to discuss intelligent design in the workplace in the future. And what you have to understand, I guess, in particular here is what a ridiculous situation it is to have at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which is one of NASA's great centers and facilities that is focused on a particular mission. And it's stated on their website and elsewhere that their mission is to explore the origin of the universe and the origin of life. And so for these particular employers to deny David his right to discuss that very work-related issue, only from a different perspective, one that isn't based on evolutionary theory or some other theory, is to deny him a right that any other employee would have to speak about things they're interested in. For instance, if you were told not to speak about your interest in baseball because it offends somebody, that would seem ludicrous. And the same thing applies here. It's just absolutely preposterous that they would single him out for discussing his interest in intelligent design. And I should say, he's not a fool on the subject. He's very well versed in it, and he's well known even in the intelligent design community. He's on the board of directors of Illustra Media, which produced Unlocking the Mystery of Life and the Privileged Planet and Darwin's Dilemma. So he's very knowledgeable on the topic, and yet he's not pushy and he's not persistent in his views. He's a very mild-mannered guy, so any potential claim that he was overly aggressive in the way that he approached people about his interest in intelligent design is not going to be very successful in this case.
So let me just sum this up here, Mr. Becker, and make sure I understand this right. This is basically a high-level system administrator at one of the top scientific organizations in the world that is devoted to studying origins. And he is sharing in an amicable and respectful manner some pro-ID videos with some coworkers. And now he's being accused of harassment and creating a hostile work environment. And obviously, as you say, this is absolutely false. He was sharing these videos in a respectful fashion. And what it really comes down to is people didn't like the fact that he was advocating intelligent design at Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
We do allege in this case that the supervisor had a particular animus or disinterest that he was acting on when he very angrily shouted at David and accused him of pushing his religious viewpoint. But we're not targeting JPL for trivial reasons here. Perhaps in upper management or at some levels of JPL, there's no recognition of the culture that exists throughout its campus in Pasadena. But this is something that strikes at the very heart of free speech. Why exactly would an employer accuse an employee of being too aggressive or promoting a viewpoint too much simply because it's based on what they perceive to be religion? David never had any other coworker refuse to take a DVD from him. And David never had a coworker tell him, listen, you're being too pushy, I'm not interested in the subject, please go away. If anybody expressed disinterest in the subject, David would walk away. So this isn't a case of him being overly persistent or obnoxious in his behavior when he approached other employees, although that's the way that JPL is expected to argue their position, that it wasn't based on a viewpoint, it wasn't based on discrimination, and it wasn't based on a perception of religious speech. They're going to argue that it was based on David's mannerisms and his behavior. And if they try to do that, I think that they'll be very unsuccessful. They'll learn what a mild-mannered guy he is and that he's not the type of person who would engage in that kind of conduct.
So, Mr. Becker, one final question here. How does this case relate to the case where you are representing the American Freedom Alliance, or AFA, in its lawsuit against the California Science Center alleging viewpoint discrimination and breach of contract? So how is this current case with David Coppedge similar and different from your case with AFA?
Well, they're obviously similar because in both cases, the defendants have discriminated against my clients on the basis of their viewpoint relating to intelligent design. And in the case of the California Science Center, the free speech is being suppressed in a state facility. The California Science Center is actually a department of the state of California. And in that case, the client, American Freedom Alliance, AFA, wanted to hold a fundraising event at the IMAX Theater located at the California Science Center, and they were going to screen Darwin's Dilemma, which was one of the illustrious media films that came out last year. As soon as the officials, the top officials at the California Science Center, learned about it, and they learned about it through the Smithsonian Institute, they canceled the event, but my client then had to go look for other facilities. Clearly, that was a case in which a state actor, the California Science Center, violated the First Amendment. And that's a First Amendment lawsuit filed in Los Angeles. The difference between that case and David Coppedge's case is that JPL is not a state actor and therefore cannot be sued under the First Amendment. I'm really astonished, for instance, in the American Freedom Alliance case, just how angry the anti-ID movement is and just how determined it is to suppress intelligent design so that it doesn't reach the public in any way. What I've discovered, of course, is what Dr. Meyer states in his book Signature in the Cell, which is namely that intelligent design does not depend on scripture or the book of Genesis for its theory, and that intelligent design nevertheless has potentially theistic implications. And I think that the problem in these cases, in David's case and in the AFA case, is that there are too many people who simply don't know about intelligent design or are not interested in it because they believe that it is creationism and that it's merely a group of evangelical Christians, perhaps, who are out there promoting it. And, of course, in the last year, I've learned that that's not the case.
Well, Mr. Becker, we really appreciate the work that you are doing to defend free speech for proponents of intelligent design. I think that our listeners can sympathize with what's going on. David Coppedge is basically a computer specialist who is not being allowed to simply discuss intelligent design in a friendly and respectful fashion with his coworkers. And I think that if proponents of intelligent design can't simply share pro-ID videos with interested coworkers in the scientific community, then how on earth is intelligent design supposed to gain a fair hearing from major scientific groups like Jet Propulsion Laboratory? So, Mr. Becker, thank you very much for being on the show with us today and for talking to us about this lawsuit.
Thank you for having me, Casey.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. For more information on this lawsuit, visit evolutionnews.org. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2010. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.